Kim Weaver is Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. Your monthly board meeting, Kim, full of a lot of highlights. You and I talked a while ago about a survey that you were going to conduct on people who did withdrawals and then get into some focus groups, too. And you had a few results from that to share. What did the people, the preliminary results at least, say about the way that you're doing things and some things that you might want to do differently, Kim? Thanks.
Well, what we learned, we surveyed people who had separated from the government in 2012 and withdrawn all of their account in 2013. And we wanted to know why they had done that, what had driven them to do that. The good news is our service got high marks. People were not leaving because they were not happy with the quality of service. And the foremost drivers were life expenditures. People were retiring and they wanted to pay off their mortgage. They wanted to remodel. They had medical expenses, things like that, which is what you would expect retirement money to be used for. Then we learned that people wanted some withdrawal flexibility that we don't currently offer. They want to be able to change their withdrawal options in a more flexible manner than we offer. And we kind of suspected that. That wasn't new, you know, a real surprise. And then other people, about 25%, wanted additional investment options. And as we've talked before, we're looking into possibly offering a mutual fund window, which would obviously give people access to additional investment options. And then some people wanted financial advisors or financial advice. That was about 15 to 20% of the people. So those three sort of action items, withdrawal flexibility, additional investment options, and then financial advice, are where we're going to be focusing some attention to see what we think is a good idea to do, what we can accommodate, what we think would raise costs too much. You know, there's any number of factors that we would have to evaluate, but that's our roadmap forward.
The life expenditures one seems pretty straightforward. You know, you're at a stage in your life when you're retiring where you want to tie up loose ends, you know, pay off college debt for your kids or whatever you might have. So
exactly.
That one makes a lot of sense. Can you give me an example of some of the withdrawal flexibilities that people talked about that they'd like to have but that they're not getting through the TSP?
Well, right now, under our rules, if you wanted to start, you retire, you're 58 years old, 60 years old, you want to start taking monthly payments from the TSP. So you would tell us either a dollar amount or you would ask us to calculate a lifetime benefit for you, and we would start those monthly payments. If then 2 years later your daughter's getting married and you want to withdraw, you know, $15,000 to help with the wedding costs, you can't do that. You have to make your partial withdrawal first and then start your monthly payments. So it's not an unreasonable desire to want a little bit more flexibility in how you take your money out of the TSP. And we actually have a group here that's already been looking at that, seeing what others in the private sector do in terms of allowing people access to their retirement money. You know, again, you're balancing some flexibility against the costs of allowing that. And that's what we're looking at right now.
You and I have talked about the mutual fund option before, and the way we discussed it was in the context of an ability for the people who don't want to participate in it to be free of absorbing the cost of that. Only the people who want to participate in a mutual fund program would be paying for that. Would it be reasonable to think that the financial advice piece and the withdrawal flexibilities piece would work the same way, where the folks who just wanted the straight up funds the way they're done now wouldn't be involved in paying for any of the stuff they don't want?
The withdrawal options we would probably do across the board, because that is sort of a basic tenet of the program of what's available to people. You wouldn't want to pay extra to access your money, I don't think. But the financial advice and the mutual fund, because it's a smaller group of people that would presumably be looking for that, those are two of the options that we would have to evaluate, whether you would do it on a sort of fee-for-service basis kind of thing or whether we would make it widely available. And those decisions are nowhere near being made.
Sure. Kim Weaver's Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. Did you get any sense from the people that participated in the focus groups of what kind of financial advice they're looking for, or was it kind of a more amorphous general thought or request on their part?
It was it was more amorphous. We did a focus group that I was able to sit in on, which was really quite interesting, and we really appreciated our participants taking the time because, you know, unless we hear directly from them, we're guessing. We're not basing it on you know, real participants telling us what they want. Some of them specifically said they had been working with a financial advisor for 10 or 15 years. Obviously, then in that case, we're not able to sort of supplant that. But there were other people who wanted just sort of a more general, okay, I'm moving into the retirement phase, and I want to protect my assets, but I'm not entirely sure how to do that, but I don't want to go entirely in the G fund because I know that's not going to grow fast. You know, again, people are really concerned, and they should be very focused on this, you know, making sure they're making a reasonable asset allocation, but they're not sure what to do. And that was a more generalized feeling of desire for advice.
It also sounds like it's a more basic level of advice that they're looking for, that it's something that you could probably provide, I don't want to say on a boilerplate basis, but if that's something that the TSP got into, it's something you could probably do on a pretty reasonable cost basis, because you'd be providing similar types of advice to a broad group of people.
Yeah, we've been, again, looking into, there's a number of different companies that are doing similar things for 401ks right now in the private sector, and we're taking a look of what they're doing. And it does range, as you just said, from sort of standard, more boilerplate to very customized specifics to that particular participant and their financial situation. And obviously the fees range as well based on the level of advice and the level of detail. So that those are, but again, we have a ways to go before we would ever get to that decision, because that really is sort of a fundamental change in the way we viewed the program. So there's a lot of steps we'd have to go through before we made that decision.
And we'll look forward to you keeping us updated as you go through those steps to whatever degree you do, Kim. Good news from the Roth accounts front, from what I understand.
Yes. Roth assets passed $1.7 billion at the end of August, and we have 417,000 accounts. So almost 9% of our participants, 9% of our accounts also have Roth TSP accounts. And it only started, as you remember, in May of 2012. We had anticipated that we would get to 8 to 10% Roth pickup, but we thought it would take 5 or 6 years. So we've hit sort of where we thought we were going to be in a much faster way. And as we've talked before, they're being used heavily by the Uniformed Services, who was the group that we thought would most benefit from a Roth TSP. So all in all, we just couldn't be happier with the usage and the fact that we have offered something that is helpful to our participants.
You anticipated my question, which was, is that growth continuing among the uniformed members who right now are at a lower grade and will likely get a better tax benefit by paying taxes on what they contribute to their TSP today, and will probably be in a higher bracket when they retire than they are now, vice versa from what we usually see?
Yes, we are continuing to see the Uniformed Services pick up Roth. In fact, I'm doing some quick math in my head, which is always dangerous.
I can smell the burn.
Yeah. It's roughly, of the Roth accounts, it's roughly 50% of them are Uniformed Services, and that is far disproportionate to the Uniformed Services as part of our overall population.
Today is the last day of the month, so technically what happens on the market, in the market today, can affect what results will look like for the entire month of September. But it as I just kind of glanced over the closing numbers yesterday for the stock market more broadly, it's a good news, bad news scenario, and I imagine the same thing for the TSP.
Yes, as of Friday, because our meeting was yesterday, so these numbers were as the Friday close, all of our funds are down, not dramatically, but the F fund is down about 0.69, C fund down about 0.9, S fund 3.9, and I fund 3.3. Conversely, year to date, all of them are positive. F fund is up 4.6, C fund is up 9, S fund is up 2.4, and the I fund is eking out a positive 0.53%. So far, year to date, all of our funds are positive. The I fund is really suffering from the instability all over the world at the moment. And so that is being reflected in the iFund prices.